On this episode of Still Loading, hey man, kids' games are scary too. Hey guys, it's Josh, and welcome back to this new episode of Still Loading. This is the first episode outside of the 40 for 40 series, and let me tell you, it's actually been a while since I've recorded. When I recorded that last episode, that was actually almost 3 weeks ago from when I'm recording this now, which is only about 5 days out of the due date, or when this episode's airing, I should say. And if I sound a little off, I am a little under the weather. I'm recording this now because I can feel a cold coming on, and I don't think it's going to get any better as the week goes along. So I really wanted to just record this now while I had a chance to, and hopefully it actually sounds okay. My voice doesn't sound too out of whack, but I feel scratchy, and I don't like it. I don't like it! So, as you can see in the title of this episode, this week's topic is going to be on the top 10 scary moments in non-horror video games. And I chose this because it is Halloween, it's October, you know, the month, Spooktober, spooky, whatever, and shenanigans, and I wanted something kind of horror-related to be on it. And actually, there's going to be a bonus episode next week, which will be on a specific horror game, but I don't normally like horror games. That's why I chose this as my top 10 scariest moments in games, but that are not horror games. Now, this list is in no particular order. I do have a couple runner-ups that I would like to, you know, mention, but for the most part, this list is really in no particular order. It's just, I'm going to start out with things that I thought were scary as a kid and work my way into things that are legitimately still terrifying to me to this day, or at least give me, like, make me jump a little bit. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, there's a couple that I had two runner-ups originally, and now I can only think of one of them. So hopefully I will think of that second one before the end of this episode. Because, you know, this, it's not like I can edit this in later or something. No, I do this all off the cuff. But all right, so let's jump into it, right? So number 10, this is one that I remember as a kid. And admittedly, it is not scary now, but it's something that I still remember playing for the first time and being legitimately terrified of when I first played it, and that is the Armadillo fight from Donkey Kong 64. Now, for those who have played this game, if you remember the Armadillo fight, he's really not scary at all. He is this goofy-looking armored armadillo, hence Armadillo, who's got two cannons on the side of his body, and he shoots at you, and he shoots at a very particular pattern. It's really easy to dodge, it's really easy to figure out the pattern, and it's as simple as that. Every time he'll shoot a couple times, and it gives you, basically, he'll shoot at a pattern, you dodge the fireballs, then you run up to the center and pick up a TNT barrel, throw it at him, throw it big in his old schnoz right in the nose, and you do that 3 times and you win, just like almost every old school video game. And that's the whole point of that's the boss fight. Very simple, really dumb, but I remember as a kid, it scared the crap out of me, and I still don't know why, because every time, so he'll do his fireball moves, shooting fireballs where you dodge, and in between him stopping the attack and you hitting him in the schnoz with that TNT barrel, he does like a dumb maniacal laugh, like a almost like a Waluigi type of laugh, like It's really comical. It's so over the top, but for some reason, as a kid, it just scared the ever-living shit out of me, because it was the first boss fight of the game, and I remember Donkey Kong 64 was my first, like, fully 3D game that I can remember, as I played a lot of 2D stuff beforehand, but I didn't really get into the N64 until later, and so, you may have heard before, it was my first, like, actual console that I owned. Until then, I would play 2D, like, 16-bit and 8-bit games over at friends' houses and neighbors' houses and things like that, and I just remember playing it, and it scared the living shit out of me. The world, first of all, was huge in Donkey Kong 64. I am going to do a full episode on this game because it really... There's a handful of games in my life that really cemented this, like, love of games that I have, and Donkey Kong 64 is one of them. And I'll go into more of the details as to why that is when I inevitably get to do an episode on DK64, but more on that when we get to it. So, like I said, though, it's the first real boss fight of the game. You go in there, and it is thunder and lightning. It's raining. You hear this, like, you know, dun, 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 dun. That's the Mario music, but I was literally about to hum the Mario music, but you hear a big menacing, you hear this loud menacing music, and you hear thunder and lightning, and it's raining, and this giant thing comes out of a cave, rolls out, and it's all big and metal, and all of a sudden, you know, it's an armadillo, pops out of the armored case, and starts laughing at you. That terrified me as a child, and like I said, I'm doing this list to go from things that are not scary at all now but terrified me as a child to things that legitimately still give me a little bit of the willies. Sometimes things that legitimately still scare me. But yeah, so Armadillo is the first one on my list. And like I said, once again, this is not a comparative list, and it's actually, I didn't really disclaim the second part of this, but it's all my opinion. Like, this is just all stuff that I remember. I didn't want to put anything on here that was not something that I haven't played before. I didn't want to just say, oh yeah, this is an infamous scary moment from a game, and if I played it too late, and it, like, too late in life and it doesn't scare me, or if I didn't experience it personally, I didn't want to include on this. And there's a lot of gaps in my gaming knowledge, and you know what? I'm going to say it again at the end of the episode, but I'd love to hear from you guys. What are your favorite or scariest, what do you think are the scariest moments from non-horror games? So anyway, I know I kind of derailed that, but, and I probably should have put that in the beginning, but, you know, once again, I don't edit this. This is all off the cuff. This is what you come for, right? I mean, I hope so. Anyway, please keep listening. Don't stop. Okay, so let's go on. So that was number 10. Number 10 was Armadillo from Donkey Kong 64. And that legitimately, like I said, scared the crap out of me as a kid. Another thing, number 9 now. The next thing, this is also kind of along the lines of, like, things that scared me as a kid. Well, it is. I would say it's the last one. As there's only two that I on this list here that, like, scared me as a kid but really aren't scary now. All the others I feel like I could still make a case for as being legitimately scary even if you're no longer scared by it. Like, the concept of it is scary, you know. So anyway, number 9 is the spider cave section area from Jak and Daxter: The Precursor Legacy. So for those who have played this game, as you get far enough into the game, it's one of the last areas. So the way Jak and Daxter is built is that you have a hub, like, town area, and three different areas to explore outside of it. This is actually in, I want to say, if I remember correctly, it's the third hub area, and it's one of, then that hub area is one of the last areas in the entire game, like one of the last, like, levels or hub areas in the entire game. And Spider Cave, it's interesting to get to. You have to ride minecarts to get there. And it's not like you can just hop in and it'll take you there. It's actually a little difficult to get to if you're not good at the platforming, which, you know, early 3D platforming. Granted, this is PS2, so it's not quite N64 early, but still early in the PS2 life cycles platforming. And so you get there, and I just remember it's very dark. It's a very, the sound is very ambient. It's not like much of a melody. It's got a little bit of one, but it's meant to more like make you a little bit uneasy versus having some catchy melody. And these spiders drop from the ceiling and shoot like dark eco balls at you. And then there's these horrifying looking centipedes in these, like, rafters, and they're, like, crawling in and out of it. Oh, it just give me the willies. Like, the idea of the centipedes still give me the willies, but in the game, they're so comedic looking. They're really not that scary. And, yeah, it's, like, legit, like, it still scares, it doesn't scare me to this day, but it's still, like, I have such vivid memories of how uncomfortable it made me. And the crowning moment in that entire area is, as you get far enough into the caverns, there's a power cell. For those who haven't played, you collect power cells. It's a big collectathon, is the original Jak and Daxter. And the second and third has elements of that, but in any case. So you go to the back of the spider cave, and towards the back one of the back areas of it, there is a smaller cave, like, in the wall, and as you walk up to it, you see the power cell at the end of the cave. However, there are tons and tons of spider eggs all lining up the sides of the cave, all everywhere, and you have to fight your way through it. And it is, it scared the shit out of me as a kid. I was so terrified of that when I first played it, because it felt like, I didn't watch Alien then, but it felt very alienish at the time, you know, like you're getting swarmed by all these things. And it just, scared me. And it just, seeing them, and like I said, in retrospect, not that terrifying, but when that game came out and I played it, it scared the crap out of me. And I wasn't even that little to come to think of it, which is a little bit more depressing. I must have been like 13 or 14, because, let me see, that game came out in 2002, so I would have been like 13 or 14. Yeah, so I was probably like 13 or 14 when I played it, and it legitimately scared me. It was that, especially that cave thing, like I said, the cave inside a spider cave filled with all those spider eggs just gets me every time. But okay, so that's number 9, Spider Cave in the Jack and Daxter, the Precursor Legacy. Now, moving on, and I'm looking at this, and I really, like, I'm trying to organize this on my head, because I wrote these all down. You'd think I would be more prepared than this, but, you know, once again, this is what you come for. Me being totally and completely prepared. But alright, let's move on to number 8 now. So number 8, it's a little bit, this is a good one. So number 8, we're going to go with Spelunking from Minecraft. Now, this is probably one of the newer games on this list. I think, actually, looking at my list now, I want to say it is the newest game on this list. But for those who have played Minecraft, you know, like, it's not really meant to be scary at all. But I still get freaked out in this game. Now, this is a game that I legit, like, it was scary when I first played it, and it's still scary to me now. But obviously not all the time. So for any of those who know, you can play in 2 different modes. You can play in creative mode and survival mode. Creative mode, there's no hassles. It's literally just that. It's an open sandbox. You just build whatever you want, unlimited resources, you just go at it. And what's cool about the other version, though, survival, is that you have to actually survive. You have to collect all your resources. You have to keep track of your food, your health. You have to fight monsters. You have to keep up weapons and armor and crops and continue to actually survive. And it gives you a real sense of accomplishment when you're really good at that. And when you go spelunking, or, you know, cave diving, whatever you want to call it, you've run into a lot of things out there. That's a one way to put it, or down there, I should say. Now, I always play with the music off, because I like to either watch something or listen to music when I'm playing Minecraft. But I leave the sound effects on, because I always want to be able to hear if there's something nearby me, or if there's a creeper nearby. And if there's a lull in the music, it gets a little terrifying, because you hear nothing, and you just hear brrr off in the distance, and you don't know where it's coming from, and it gets closer to you, but you circle around, and there's still nothing there. You don't see anything, but you hear it. You hear it right behind you, but you turn around, and nothing's there. And it could just be on the opposite side of a block, but since there's not really sound physics in Minecraft, it sounds like it's right next to you. So the game constantly puts you on edge, and it just makes, until you actually run into one, and then you panic and you might die. And then, of course, there's the classic creeper, which is completely the enemy that's completely silent until it's one square next to you. Then all of a sudden you hear a tss, and it blows up. And if you're near any of your work that you've been spending, you know, weeks or days on, there goes a chunk of it too. So creeper, I mean, that's where the meme came from. You know, that's a nice everything you have. It would be a shame if something happened to it. That classic meme that that became popular because of Minecraft. It's legitimately frustrating when shit like that happens. I will never forget this. There was a moment when I was playing where when you go cave diving, you'll periodically come across these giant underground caverns. Huge, tall things, like a couple stories high. Sometimes you can't even see if you're at the top, sometimes you can't even see the bottom of it. Or if you can, it's because there's lava down there, so it's pretty deep into the game's, pretty deep into like the earth of the game. I was at the bottom level of it, no lava nearby, but I had torches everywhere so I can see. And all of a sudden I hear it, and I panic, because that means there's a creeper nearby. Well, there was, and I couldn't do anything about it, and I'm like, I don't see where it came from. I look up, and three or four more creepers are jumping from the top of this cavern, like this giant like underground canyon. They're jumping from the top of the canyon and suicide bombing me, just falling off and blowing up as they land. I was so scared. Oh my god. And they're it still scares me thinking about it. Or there was another time where I was exploring in a cave, and I hear it and I book it before it can explode, make it away, and I turn, and but I run into a wall, turn around, and there's three creepers walking up on me, and I got nowhere to go. I cheated to get out of that. I paused the game and turned it on peaceful, and they just disappeared. But I'll count that as a win, because I didn't lose all of my shit. Because that's insane that they could be out, like, nowhere, and then all of a sudden right in front of you. And there's no way I'd be able to handle three at the same time. I would have died. I would have absolutely died. So yeah, that is number 8 for me, spelunking or cave diving in Minecraft. And like I said, it is surprisingly terrifying for a game that you really wouldn't expect it to be. But I still have vivid memories of first playing it, trying to build your first shelter and just hoping that nothing attacks you in the middle of the night. Or if like you couldn't get any resources, I would literally create like a dirt hut. Like this little single square dirt hut that I could hide in until morning, so that way the monsters wouldn't come get me. God, I still love that game. I don't play it as often as I used to, but every now and then I go back and I'll go on kicks where I'll play it for a couple months, and it's still just as much fun as the day I first played it. But all right, so that's number 8. So just a quick recap: number 10 was Armadillo from Donkey Kong 64. Number 9 was the Spider Cave from Jak and Daxter: The Precursor Legacy. Number 8 was spelunking from Minecraft. And now number 7, we're going to go with the Monster Piano from Super Mario 64. So for those who have played Super Mario 64, the game is awesome. One of the best 3D platformers, probably one of the 3D platformers, not probably, definitely the 3D platform that defined all other 3D platformers. One of the most important games of all time. However, there is one random moment in that game where there's a secret level for Boo. You can go fight in Boo's house. And there's a secret level, and as you're exploring the house, the mansion, in Boo's mansion, I mean, yeah, there's the normal Boo's, and it's a little creepy, but you know, the music puts you on edge a little bit. But what's really scary is that in one room there's a piano, and you don't think anything of it. However, as you walk up to it, all of a sudden it comes to life. It's like a grand piano, you know, like one of those giant ones with the giant lids on top of it to open up to really increase the sound from it. Well, that opens up, grows teeth, and just starts like, it almost looks like a mimic out that you would see in like D&D or like Diablo or something, and it just like starts and starts chomping at you. I don't even know if you can kill the thing. I probably should have looked that up. Those people listening, if you can kill it, message me, you know, stillloadingcontact@gmail.com or Facebook, Twitter, Instagram @stillloadingpod on all of them. Shoot me a message. Let me know if you can actually kill this thing. I just ran the hell away. It scared the fuck out of me. There's no way I'm fighting that. Nope, I'm good. I can live without fighting a monster piano. All right, that's a short one, but there was not much to really describe about that one. There's not a whole lot of nostalgia behind it for me, because I only recently beat Super Mario 64. But it still got me even now, and it's still legitimately kind of terrifying when you think about it. Like, the game's all kind of happy-go-lucky, then a piano grows teeth and tries to eat you. Yeah, it's not just like some kiddie fantasy blown up inside your head. That's kind of terrifying. But okay, so that was number 7. So number six are the Descendants from the first Uncharted game. So one of my favorite game series of all time is the Uncharted series. And then once again, like I said with DK64, I do plan on doing a full episode for each of these games at some point in time. But right now, we'll go into more detail, of course, when that episode comes. So in the first Uncharted game, there's these monsters called Descendants. And the game takes a real left turn when these guys get introduced, because you, up until this point, it felt very Indiana. Well, Indiana Jones had this kind of stuff in it too, but it just felt very straightforward action platformer. Nothing too outlandish, nothing too crazy. But there's a moment in the game where you're in a tomb with Elena, one of the other characters from the game, for those who haven't played. And she is able to get up to the top, and all of a sudden, Drake is cordoned in by some of the bad guys that, you know, have been chasing him throughout the whole game. Nathan and Drake, for those who don't know, is the main character of the game, and he's been cornered by a bunch of bad guys. But all of a sudden, they're freaking out, because they're like, didn't you see them? And he's like, what are you guys talking about? And he's like, oh no, they're coming, and they're all, everyone else is freaking out, Drake's just confused. And these horrifying-looking zombies just crawl out. They get introduced by, because the guy who's, like, the most nervous, all of a sudden you see a hand on his leg, and he gets pulled down and screaming, and you, like, or he gets pulled down, and he's wrapped up in these, like, gray thing's arms, and he gets pulled off into a pit, and next thing that pops up, you see a zombie, and they're called Descendants. And if I remember correctly, they came in from the game because those who, like, essentially kind of inhaled the dust from the statue, which I don't want to spoil what the statue is, because if those have not played the game, I don't want to spoil it here. I will spoil it on when I cover the episode, but not right now. In any case, tons of them, like, just start crawling out of the stone walls, and you're surrounded, and you have to fight them with just a pistol, and it is legit terrifying. And he has he's really an enemy, but, you know, friend for the moment, because they're, you know, trying to not die. This guy named Eddie Bracha, I can't remember his last name, but they fight their way, and he almost makes it. He gets dragged down by one of the Descendants and bit in the neck. It's a very pleasant thing. So yeah, that legit, anything with like, it's very Indiana Jonesy, because, you know, Indiana Jones gets, it's all, like, action and adventure and that kind of thing, and it takes a left turn into the occult and gets into, like, crazy, like, supernatural type of things, and that's exactly what this was. It was a little supernatural, and it was a little freaky at first, and I still hate that section. Like, you hear all the creepy noises from they crawl on all fours, and they can climb walls and jump, and they move really fast, like the zombies from, like, what is it, that 28 Days Later or whatever movie, which I hate that movie, but neither here nor there. I'm not a horror fan, you can't blame me. But it's a terrifying experience. It's a terrifying moment in that game, and I love it. I mean, it's one of my favorite game series, like I said, but it is legit, like, terrifying to experience. And things that are also terrifying and kind of like an action platformer brings me to number five. Number five on this list is the Metroids from pretty much any Metroid game. Now, the first Metroid game I personally ever played was Metroid Prime. And I did end up playing, you know, some of the original Metroid, some other stuff before I actually got far into Metroid Prime, but the whole reason I never beat Metroid Prime was because of the Metroids. The fact that there's these, like, hovering things that kind of dance around and they grab you, and the only, like, they start sucking the energy out of you like a leech, and the only way you can do it is by, like, curling up into Samus, having Samus curl up into a ball and using, like bombs and shit on them. And then at the end of Metroid Prime, like, you have to shoot them with the different color. They're color coded, and depending on what color they are, determines what weapon you shoot them with. And I don't know why, but when I played it, I just couldn't get it. Like, I understood the concept. I understood what I had to do. Like, a friend told me. But for some reason, I don't know, maybe I was, like, colorblind, which I don't, as far as I'm aware, I'm not. But it just, I could not get the pattern down. I could not figure out which one to shoot them with, and it drove me nuts. I hated it. Oh, my God. And they charge you. They were super fast because there's this giant open – I just remember being a giant open cavern, and this thing just charges you, and you only have a fraction amount of time to actually shoot it, let alone three times. Now, granted, I would assume that you're supposed to shoot it, dodge, turn around, shoot it with the next thing, dodge. And the thing is, it's not even like it – it's like one weapon for each color type. So let's say it's a color type. I forget what all the colors signify. Let's say it was yellow for like the plasma or the regular blaster, blue for ice, and purple for phazon or whatever. It's been so long since I played Metro Prime. I apologize for all those who are like screaming at me trying to tell me what it is. But basically, Samus has four different kinds of blasters in the game: wave beam, ice beam, regular beam, and then like I think that was it, maybe a phazon beam, I forget. In any case, you also have missiles and super missiles and stuff like that, and you're supposed to then shoot it based on, so like yellow would be like the regular, blue would be ice, like I forget what the color for the wave beam was, maybe purple or green or something like that. In any case, it would start out, let's say, as yellow, so you'd shoot it with the regular blaster. Then it would change to blue. It wouldn't be dead still. You would have to shoot it again, but with a different one. So because it kept changing colors, and there was like, I remember three of them at the same time on the screen, you had to consistently like dodge all three while remembering which color which one was. I mean, yeah, you could see it, but like when you're in the middle of the fight, you're trying to dodge the other two when you're trying to figure out which one to shoot. Oh my God. Now, with all that said, it has been like 15 years since I've played it last, so all of this could have changed, and I was probably much worse back then, and I'm probably worse now, but I'm still willing to give it another shot. Metroid Prime is on the list of games that I own that I do want to beat. I got so far into that game. I had beaten almost every boss. I beat the what a lot of people consider the scariest fight, which I think is a space pirate. That was a tough fight, but it wasn't necessarily scary. Like, I was able to get his pattern down, so I couldn't get hit. It was just hard for me to hurt him. But the Metroids were so hard for me to kill. I hated fighting the Metroids, and it just goes for any Metroid in any game, in any Metroid game, because they, you know, hop on top of you and they try to suck your energy out. And it's just, I don't know, for me, any type of creature that's a parasite just freaks me the fuck out. Like, I cannot handle it. And wow, I'm doing really well with these transitions, because number five was Metroid. Number four, in speaking of, oh wait, no, I'm sorry. Almost great at transitions. Number one's going to be dealing with that, but number four. But yeah, so before I go on to number four, just to wrap up number five, you know, the Metroids. Yeah, just terrifying, really terrifying. And I had a different adjective to use. Horrifying, terrifying, scary, spooky, spooked. They weren't spooky. It just creeped me out. I couldn't do it. That's the whole reason I stopped playing Metroid Prime, because I just could not figure out how to beat them, and I panicked so hard every time I had to fight them. You know, maybe, you know, 10, 15 years later, retrospect, I should give it another shot, right? But all right, so that was number five. So let's move on to number four. Number four is the dentist's office in BioShock. Now, a lot of people may consider BioShock a horror game, and it kind of is, but it also kind of isn't. I know this is kind of like a weird choice to put on there, because BioShock, a lot of people consider horror, and for good reason. It is very creepy. The atmosphere really makes it, I would say the atmosphere more than anything makes it a horror game. Because don't get me wrong, you're still fighting psychos that are trying to hit you with like wrenches and shit or shoot you with guns, but I would say the reason that's terrifying is because the atmosphere is just so well made. Like, the game developers, the game designers did such an expert job at crafting that world. I want to do a full episode on BioShock as well. Like, the game is just so well made. It's one of my personal favorites of all time. Like, the story and everything. Like, I need to stop myself, otherwise I'm going to go on a tangent how much I love that game. But the dentist's office, I'm thinking of one specific moment from my memory. I'm sure there's others. Let me know if you guys have a different memory of the dentist's office from Bioshock for those who have played it. But there's a scene, there's a moment in it where you're walking into this dentist's office area, and there's a big, there's a big wooden floor, some trash here and there, and a spotlight on it. But you can still see everything. As soon as you walk into the spotlight and pick up a shotgun, that's where you one of the first places you get a shotgun. All the lights except for that spotlight go out, so you can't see anything, and all the doors close. And next thing you know, you just see the splicers or the crazy people that I was talking about. Once again, for those who haven't played, splicers are the crazy people that try to kill you in the game. So these messed up people come out of these splicers, just swarm you from outside, from the darkness. Like, you don't see them, you just see them rush out of the darkness, and they just start attacking you. Oh my god, because they'll hit like two or three at a time. Like, you're just constantly on the run, and you don't want to run into the darkness because you can't see anything in there. All you can do is really see just the light from the spotlight on the floor, and you're just running in circles trying to, like, take these guys out while also not getting hit by any new guys just sneaking out of the darkness. There were so many moments where I thought I would finish everything, and all of a sudden I would turn to the right or left, and all of a sudden there's a guy right there, mid-swing, almost ready to hit me. Oh, just, that whole game is creepy, but that was one of the creepiest moments for me personally. There's a lot of horrific moments, I would say, in that game. I just can't remember any of the characters' names because it's been, once again, about 10 years since I last played it. But there is a lot of horrific moments in the game, but it's that the dentist's office specifically just freaked, like, it scared me. It scared me so bad. All the others are horrific, but, like, you kind of, it's, there's no jump scares. It didn't, like, scare me. I don't know. Bioshock didn't scare me all that much. It did initially, but, like, once you get past the initial creepiness, it just becomes, like, you just get used to it. And that dentist thing just really, that messed with my head. That hit me hard. But, all right, so let's move on. That was number four, the dentist's office. Number three is the Happy Mask Salesman from Majora's Mask. Now, the next two are the one after this is also Zelda, which you'll have to wait, obviously, in a little bit. But the mask salesman from Majora's Mask, I put so high on this list. And once again, I know this is, I said before, it's in no particular order. I try to kind of gauge it in my own opinion for it, but, like, realistically, you could swap some of these. Like, you could swap this number three one with the number one one and vice versa, and number two and one could be swapped. Hell, even the dentist's office number four just from last one could be swapped with number one. Like, there's a whole bunch of them that could be swapped. So once again, I try to put this at this moment in time what my scale of this would be, but like I said, this is all subjective, and you could easily flip-flop any of these. And if you guys disagree with the order I did put these in, just let me know. I'm curious what you guys would think. What was more scary for you? This is all just based on, like, where I was at what I remember when I was playing them. But anyway, so like I said, number three is the Happy Mask Salesman, and from Majora's Mask, Legend of Zelda Majora's Mask. And this game is filled with creepy moments. I would say it's one of the darkest Zelda games ever made, and it's one of also the best Zelda games ever made. And the Happy Mask Salesman is terrifying because he's one of the first people you meet, and you see Link, because Link gets turned into a Dooku or a Deku Scrub, and is this cute little thing walking around, and the first thing he says to you is, you know, you've met with a terrible fate, haven't you? And it always, that line, I mean, it's always on memes, and it's always, you see it online all the time, but it really, like, it sets the tone of the entire game. That guy, the mask salesman, sets the tone of the entire game. Now, don't get me wrong, it's creepy to start out with what happens to Link, how he gets turned into a Deku Scrub or a Dooku Scrub or however you want to pronounce it, but, like, the first reaction you see to it from someone else in the game besides the villain who does it, who turns Link into that, is just a weird, it sets the tone, it sets how the whole world interacts with you. And that's why I think it stuck out with me so long. He's got a terrifying expression, he's just very creepy. You're very unsettled every time you interact with him. And so when he shows you how to he kind of like saves you a little bit and helps you not, you know, turn back into regular Link. And then you're able to, you know, use the mask to turn back into the Dooku Scrub, take the mask off, and you turn back into regular Link. As for those who don't know, the game works on a day cycle where there's 3 days for you to beat the game, but you can rewind time and redo everything over and over and over again. So on the end of the first day, before you know that you can rewind time and all this other stuff, when you try to bring the mask, because the mask salesman just wants you to get Majora's mask back for him. It was stolen by the villain of the game, Skull Kid. And when you tell him for the first time that you haven't been able to get it back, he loses his shit. He shakes Link violently. He looks like the eyes roll into the back of his head. It's just such a weird level of like terrifying that I can't describe it, man. It scared the crap out of me when I was young, and it to this day it still makes me uncomfortable. Like, just the idea of what he wants and like how he goes about it, it creeps me out. The Happy Mask Salesman, he's scary. I no way around it. He is a scary motherfucker. But all right, so number two for me is another Zelda one, and a lot of people would probably go for, I think they're the Dead Hands from Ocarina of Time, but that's specific to Ocarina of Time. I'm going for all of the Zelda games, and for me, it's the Wall Masters. Now, for those who don't remember what they are, the Wall Masters are the hands that fall from the ceiling and grab Link and throw him out of the dungeon. Now, realistically, they don't normally kill you. I mean, I don't even remember if they do. Some of them do damage, if I remember correctly, like little bits of it. Nothing that would hurt unless you're low in health to begin with. But the first time I ever experienced them was in Ocarina of Time. And they appear in every Zelda game, even the first ones. And it's just a scary, scary thing, because if you stand in one place for too long, you all of a sudden you see a shadow start growing underneath Link's feet, and it follows him. It's this unearthly shadow, and you hear like a "Oh," and it just kind of, and that's not a good sound impression of it at all, now that I think about it. But it's this like unearthly shadow that just increasingly gets bigger, and this creepy sound happens. And you better be moving when it's growing underneath you, because like I said, it does follow you until the hand is ready to fall, and then it stops following you. So unless you're moving, it will grab you. And it drops from the ceiling and pulls you up out of the dungeon, and you have to start all the way over. And just the first time I experienced it, I was also very little. I was probably like maybe 11 or 12 when I played it. And those Wall Masters, they scare me. That's a legitimately, like, you maybe in like retrospect, the idea of them aren't that scary, but the way they appear to you, it will always be scary to me. The fact that there's this, you know, ever present shadow that just keeps growing underneath you, it creeps me out so much to this day. I can't even describe it, man. And the fact that like they're in every single one, even the original one, that's why I put it above the Happy Mask Salesman. That's why I also put it over the Dead Hands, because those only appear in Ocarina of Time. These appear in every single game. But all right, so let's move on and now to the number one. And before I do that, let me talk about the two runner-ups. I actually remembered my other runner-up that I mentioned before, so I was pretty happy about that. So the two runner-ups, now these I didn't want to include on the list because they were just so insignificant and like silly, they weren't quite scary enough even for me at the time. And the first one of that was there's a hallway, it's seen as not the right term, but in Final Fantasy VII, this is from Final Fantasy VII, and on disc one, pretty early into the game, the Cloud's team and his old group gets captured by Shinra, the evil corporation of that specific game. And they wake up in their cells only to see that Cloud wakes up in a cell only to see that the door's open and there's trails of blood all throughout the hallway. And you have no idea why they're there. And he steadily goes about waking up all of his friends, so that way, you know, you have people to help you fight the enemies that are coming up further, or coming up ahead. And you don't really know what's going on. There's a very creepy music that's played. Like, Final Fantasy VII has some of the best music in any game I've ever played, and that music fit that scene perfectly. I'm not even going to try to create it, recreate it. I mean, I'm not going to try to sing it, but you travel down the hallway, and there's, like I said, there's blood all over the halls, and you walk through a laboratory, and you have to fight this guy's... Now, these aren't what has done all the killing, you find out later, but you walk through this blood, like... There's blood all over the place, and you have to fight these experiments only to get up to the top of... You follow the blood trail long enough, and you end up at the top of Shinra HQ, and you find out it's Sephiroth. And for those... If you're listening to this podcast, you don't know who Sephiroth is, I don't know what to tell you. Go play Final Fantasy VII. But for those who do know, it's Sephiroth. You find out Sephiroth... How do you pronounce it? I don't know. Sephiroth is the one who did all this, and that's like the defining, it's like the, not quite the inciting incident for the entire story, but it like really sets the character's journey in motion for the rest of the game. So that was my first runner up. It's a good one, but like I said, it didn't really scare me a lot as a kid. I think the idea of it's a little scary. You know, you wake up, your cell's open and blood covered hallways. That's terrifying. But in Final Fantasy VII graphics, and the fact that it never really scared me, it was more intriguing to me versus scary. That's why I didn't put on the list. And the other runner up was actually the castle from Super Mario 64. For some reason, that always scared me as a kid. Like, the first time I played it was before I owned an N64. It was over at a friend's house, and you walk in and just like you hear Bowser's creepy laugh. You're like walking in and out of paintings, and it just, for some reason, it freaked me out. Now, obviously, you can see why I didn't put it on the list, because what? Really? The castle of all things in that game? Yeah, I don't know what it was. It irked me. It freaked me out. So I didn't think it deserved deserved a mention on this list. Plus, the piano from that I mentioned before was clearly much scarier. So, all right, now let's move on to number one. And number one is the Flood from Halo. I love the Halo games. I love the Halo series. It's hands down one of my favorites. And the Flood, I remember when I first started playing Halo, I actually was upset it was in there because I was afraid of them. And I remember being like, I love this game so much, but like these Flood things just scare me so bad. And for those who have not played it, the Flood Halo's a first-person shooter, and it's all just a normal, fun first-person shooter, good storyline up until it has a great storyline in general. And you get to this one section, and the Master Chief, the main character, comes across a group of dead soldiers. He takes like the chip out of one of their helmets and looks at the recording they had of the events leading up to where he was at right there. And you see them, you know, on approach to this area. They go through this old like temple built by the Forerunners. I think that was the name. It's been so long since my Halo lore's a little bit rusty, but they go through this temple, and then all of a sudden you see people start screaming. There's these tiny little things jumping on the soldiers and like just like ripping them to shreds. And it's just this horrifying, like, they almost look like ticks with, like, you know, like 2-foot-high ticks. Yeah, like 2-foot-high ticks with, it's already had a little bit of blood sucked. This is a really gross analogy, I'm so sorry. But, like, they got, like, really, like, kind of big backs. It looks like balloons almost. That's a better way. Like, green balloons, like lime green balloons. And they have these tentacles, and they basically, what the Flood does is that they kill the host. They kill people, and then they use their body as a host. So it kills the host. They're a parasite that literally kills their host, and it can reanimate the body and use it to however they want. And you see like different stages as the game goes along of people just like these humans that were humans at one point in time, but now they're completely taken over by this parasite, because like its little tentacles like grow and use outside, like crawl through your veins and just, oh, it always irked, like, creeped me out so bad. And it got worse in Halo 2 when the graphics improved, and when you, if you, like, shot, well, it's an M-rated game, of course, so you could actually, like, you know, it was pretty violent. If you shot off a Flood's arm, you know, a soldier, like a Marine that was, like, infested with the Flood, dead and, you know, taken over, you would actually see the tentacle out of, like, the arm, out of, like, the shoulder socket, and just, oh my gosh, and, like, the cutscene leading up to the Flood and your first experience with it, because when you first see it in the first Halo game, besides the recording, which is something straight out of a horror movie, you're walking up to a door, and the door, and this, like, door automatically opens. Actually, sorry, it bursts open, it gets blown open, and all of a sudden, this wave of these, like, little, like, Flood things, like, start, like, spewing out from this doorframe, and you're just spraying, hoping that they don't get to you. And thankfully, the Chief has, since, the Master Chief has, like, shielding on his armor. It protects him from them, but it's still, like, if there's too many of them, they will kill you. And they only get harder in the later games. Like, the first one, you don't even have to worry. You can get hit with so many of them before they'll actually hurt you. But in, like, Halo 2, they take you down pretty fast. And from all the subsequent games, they take you down pretty fast. But so anyway, thank you all for listening. That was my top 10 scariest moments in non-horror games. Once again, this is not any type of definitive list. This is just things based off of my experience, and I hope you enjoyed me rambling about it. I hope you liked what I picked. What are your guys' top 10s? Like, seriously, let me know, because I was asking some friends of mine, and some of them were from games that I personally did not play, so I did not want to include them on the list. Some of them were from games that I did play, but I just played them too old, so they didn't really scare me at all that much. There were some moments a friend of mine was suggesting in the first Metal Gear Solid. I loved the first Metal Gear Solid, but nothing really scared me in that game. Nothing really was, like, horrifying in it. But I could see, you know, if you grew up playing it, there's probably some pretty scary moments out of that. So, in any case, so let me know. Message me on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, at StillLoadingPod of all of them. You can also reach out to me, StillLoadingContact@gmail.com. I also, don't forget, have a website, StillLoadingPodcast.com. You can reach out to me there. I still haven't posted any blogs yet. I really need to get on that. I do plan on writing some blogs and, you know, getting content there on a weekly basis, at least, other than just the podcast. So at least that always goes up on the website. That's a nice place where you can see there's a player with a list of all the different episodes on it, so it's easy to get to. So once again, stillloadingpodcast.com. And that pretty much wraps it all up for me. Some quick shout outs to The Apex and The Abyss. My friend Erica, that's my friend Erica's podcast. It's an amazing true crime podcast. I'm just trying to promote my own show still. No, The Apex and Abyss is an amazing true crime podcast. I definitely suggest listening to it. I'm not a big true crime podcast fan, and I can say this without any, like, hint. I don't know. I was going to say hint of irony, but that sentence doesn't really apply here. But but in all honesty, I think her show is 10 times better than this one. So if you love this and you like true crime, I should definitely point that out. If you love true crime, hers is one of the best podcasts out there. Go listen to it. So then also besides her, Two Guys in a Game and The Hotter Show, both amazing podcasts. They've been friends of mine for a while now. TJ from the two shows was just on the last episode with me for WrestleMania, the last episode of the 40 for 40 series. Also, the No Geeks Allowed podcast. That's KNOW, No Geeks Allowed. Fantastic show, excuse me. James and Brian are really good guys. They've been on my show for another of the 40 for 40 series, the Vice Project Doom episode, VPD, for those who remember that one, and go check out their podcast. Also, The Amazing Nerd Show, Drinks with Larry, all really, really good podcasts. And I'd also like to give a shout out to some of my new favorite podcasts, Singing Mountain, which is a video game music podcast hosted by Drew Mackey. Really awesome show. I'm only about 12 or 13 episodes in right now, but I'm really enjoying what I'm listening to. And if you also like video game music, also check out the Super Mercado Brothers podcast. That is Mercado spelled M-A-R. Actually, you know what? Let me look this up just to make sure that I'm giving you the correct information. I'm also trying to vamp while I type somewhat quietly into the computer. Yeah. So Mercato is spelled M-A-R-C-A-T-O Bros. So the Super Mercato Bros. It's a video game music podcast with two musicians, Carl and Will Brueggemann. They are really knowledgeable. They actually know music theory. I don't, so it's always interesting for me to hear them talk about, like, in a music theory perspective, from a music theory perspective, why they like specific songs. And I like the Singing Mountain one because he's like me. He loves music, but he may not have, you know, the whole 100% music background, but he is very well versed. He's so good. Drew is so good at describing what the songs make you feel. Like, I wish I could do, I was that good at it. Like, I wish this top 10 was as good as half of his episodes, because he's so good at just, like, how to, at describing it, how those songs make you feel. So seriously, go give them a listen to Singing Mountain and the Super Mercato Bros podcasts. They're not related to each other, but they're both video game music podcasts. And that should really wrap this all up. So once again, thank you all for listening. Please remember to rate, review, and to subscribe to the show. I never really say that enough because I never think about it, but rating and reviewing really helps the podcast out, especially on iTunes. It helps get more noticed, so please consider doing that. It just takes a moment of your time, even if you want to just say awesome show and hopefully 5 stars. But in any case, please remember to rate, review, and please remember to rate, review, and subscribe. Also, you can check me out on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at StillLoadingPod on all of them, and reach out to me either through the website, StillLoadingPodcast.com, or email me at stillloadingcontact@gmail.com. So that about does it. So thank you all for I can't even speak, even though I'm trying to wrap this up. It's really late. I'm sorry. This is almost like, what time is it now? It's past 10 o'clock, and I have to wake up early tomorrow. So any case, thank you all for listening. I will see you all next time, and have a good week, everyone.